Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Timothy 4. The Pew Bible page number is here, I think, somewhere. Yeah, Pew Bible page number. It's kind of hard to read, but it's 1235. And that'll take you to 1 Timothy chapter number 4 as we go through this book. And if you need a handout, our ushers would be glad to run you one right now. They're ready to go. So just lift your hand if you need a handout. We're going to be back in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 16. Look at it with me, the last verse. He says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine," Timothy. Notice he's writing to his son in the faith here. "Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Sometimes we can get so involved in ministering to others, serving the Lord, that we forget to take care of ourselves spiritually, and we neglect our own spiritual health and well-being, which in turn leads to frustration, or even worse, it can lead to a very carnal, fleshly walk whereby we begin to dry up spiritually. Thus, we have Paul's admonition to Timothy, "Take heed unto thyself, Timothy." You better pay attention to your spiritual welfare is what that means. Save thyself. Now, when we read "save thyself," remember from last week, that has nothing to do with Timothy's eternal salvation in heaven. He's not saying, "Oh, God, okay, you got to save yourself so that you can go to heaven." No, his eternal destination had already been settled. Timothy was saved in the sense that he had trusted Christ, he knew the Lord, he was Paul's son in the faith, he says. So Timothy's eternal destination is not the issue here. He's writing to Timothy as a believer, as a Christian, and he's admonishing his son in the faith to take heed unto himself and to save thyself. When he says save thyself, he's not talking about do enough good things so you can go to heaven. We know we're not saved by our good works. We're saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Amen, church? And so we can't save ourselves in the sense of going to heaven. So what does he mean? Well, when he says save thyself, he's talking about his daily walk, making sure that he doesn't become a spiritual shipwreck, making sure he doesn't ruin and destroy his life. Can a Christian destroy their own life? Yes or no? Yes. Now, we have our eternal life. You know, the Bible talks about being saved so as by fire, you know, in other words, by the skin of your teeth. We can still mess our life up. We can mess our life up. Can a Christian, even though they know the Lord, can we do things that will bring self-inflicted pain in our life? Yes or no? Sure we can. We can be our own worst enemy. And we can end up being a spiritual shipwreck. We can end up, you know, kind of just, you know, falling by the wayside. We can end up burned out, and we can end up in bondage. A Christian can end up in bondage. It's a spiritual wreck is what we can end up. And in fact, look at this picture right here. And that's some car right there, isn't it? Question, is that a car? Not a trick question. Is that a car? Yes. It's not going anywhere, is it? That car is a wreck. And it's all by itself. It's out in the woods, you know. And it's like, wow, you know, obviously that car has not been taken care of, has it? I mean, that car is rusted out. It's fallen apart. It is a wreck. It's all alone. There's nobody to care for it. Reminds me of that verse. David said, "No man cared for my soul." Nobody cared for that car. Amen. And so it's all by itself and it's a wreck. I did that to give you a visual image in your mind of what can happen in the Christian life. Don't think that it can't happen to you. It can happen to you. We can end up being a shell of what we once were. We can end up falling by the wayside. And yeah, just like that's still a car, we're still a Christian. We're still going to heaven. Our identity doesn't change. That identity is that's a car. And that identity is not going to become a dog. It's not going to become a cat. It's not going to become a human. It's not going to become a van. It's a car, and that's its identity. And if you're saved today, you're in Christ, and that's your identity. And that part doesn't change. But I want you to notice, though, even though the identity is that it's a car, it's not usable. It's fallen by the wayside. It's rusted out. It's burned out. And this characterizes many Christians today. They did not do what that verse says. They did not take heed unto themselves. They did not protect their own spiritual welfare. They did not watch out for their own spiritual well-being. And they ended up like that car. They ended up burned out or rusted out or falling by the wayside. And they feel alone maybe. But you know what? This isn't what God wants. God says in this verse, save thyself. He says, Christian, save thyself. Nobody can do it for you. The pastor can't do it. Your spouse can't do it. Your kids can't do it. Your parents can't do it. You have to take personal responsibility for your walk with Christ. You have to take responsibility for your spiritual health. If we are living a carnal life, whose fault is it? It's our own fault. If we got bad attitudes, whose fault is it? Somebody said my spouse. No, that's not true. It's your fault. It's not your, hey, if we've got a bad attitude, if we're walking fleshly, if we're walking carnally, if we feel just like that car, burned out and rusted out and frustrated, you know what? That's on us. Because the Bible says, take heed unto thyself. Take heed unto thyself. Last week we discussed how to do that. How do I take care of myself spiritually? Number one in your handout, it says you have to stay a self-feeding believer. You cannot depend on mommy and daddy to feed you the Bible. You can't depend on the pastor. We said what we get here at church should be like a vitamin supplement because you're feeding yourself. You know how to go to this book. You know how to derive food out, and you know how to nourish yourself daily. That's the idea, self-feeding. You know how to feed yourself from the Bible. You're not dependent on me to feed you. You're not dependent on whoever else in your life, your life group teacher or a friend, maybe your spouse. No, you are depending on Christ and you're depending on His Word and you know how to go to the Bible and feed yourself. Take heed unto thyself. You have to be a self-feeding believer. And that's basically what he said in verse 13? He said, till I come, give attendance to reading. Man, you got to learn to read the Bible. He says, give attendance to exhortation. Take what you're reading and apply it and use it to help somebody else. Give attendance to doctrine. Know what you believe and why you believe it. So take heed unto thyself. How? Well, you got to become a self-feeding believer. You can't just go through life depending on others. You have to get in the Word, study it for yourself, be an approved workman that needeth not to be ashamed. All right? The second principle is this. Number two is if we want to save ourselves, number two, serve where you are gifted. Serve where you are gifted. I want you to look with me at verse 14, please. Look at verse 14, the next verse. He says, neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, listen, serve where you're gifted. We can burn out and we can end up on the sidelines. And that is especially true if we're attempting to minister for the Lord outside of where God's Holy Spirit has gifted us. Sometimes we have a hard time with that little two-letter word, no. We have a hard time saying no. And what can happen in the Christian realm is we don't want to say no to anybody. This ministry leader asks us to serve, and we go, okay. This ministry leader asks us to serve, okay. This person says, we really could use somebody to do this, okay. And so we don't want to say no, and I understand that. I get that, and I praise God for all the volunteers here at our church that so willingly help. But here's what can happen. We end up spreading ourselves so thin, and we many times end up doing it in areas that we're not even necessarily gifted to serve. And so Paul told Timothy, listen, man, he says, neglect not the gift that is in you. Neglect not that gift that's been given to you, Timothy. It's personal. Timothy, you've been given a gift, and it's personal. Listen, my gifts are not Rich's gifts. Rich's gifts are not his wife's gifts. His wife's gifts are not Denise's gifts. Denise's gifts are not Shauna's gifts. Shauna, your gift is not your mother-in-law's gift. You see, we all have different gifts. And he said, don't neglect your gift, Timothy. Make sure you're utilizing your gift. And so, you know, you read that verse there, and it seems that what happened there is that Paul and some others prayed for Timothy, and when they prayed over him, that he was given a gift to serve the Lord. And he said, don't forget about that, man. Don't neglect it. Make sure you're using the gift you've been given. Now, today, it's different. We know as we cross-reference Scripture with Scripture, we know that today, the moment that a believer trusts Christ, the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God takes you, puts you in the body of Christ, and you are given a gift or gifts whereby you can serve the Lord. And in your handout, it says God likens the church to a human body. He likens the church to a human body. I want you to look with me in your handout at Romans 12, 4 and 5. Look at it with me after you write that in. It says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. You know what that means? It means that in your body, you've got a lot of parts that make up your body. You got eyes, you got ears, you got a nose, you got a mouth, you got feet, you got arms, you got hands, you got legs, you got toenails, you got all these things, right? So you got all these different parts of your body. Some are visible, some are invisible. Question, are the invisible parts of your body important too? Yeah, how many of you are glad to have a heart? Yeah, that'd be pretty hard, wouldn't it, to be here without a heart? You think a liver is important? Pretty important, isn't it? And so there are parts of your body that are visible. Some are in the body of Christ. There are gifts the Holy Spirit gives that by the nature of the gifts, it's going to be kind of more public. You know, it could be that it's a leadership gift. Could be you've got a teaching gift. And by virtue of the gift, you're going to be up in front of people. It's going to kind of be more public, just like there's parts of your body that are visible. But then there are parts of the body that are invisible that are just as important. And in the same way, in the body of Christ, there are parts of the body of Christ that serve behind the scenes. They do things, mercy shower, server, different ones, giver. They do it behind the scenes and nobody really sees it, but yet is it important to the work of Christ? Yes or no? Yes. In fact, look in your handout. Let's finish that. He says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Every one of us are members of the same body, one of another. You have different members of your body, you're up to about your physical body, and they all have different functions. Not the same function, they all have different functions. But now listen, they all have a function. They all have a function. If you know Christ as your Savior, are you part of the body of Christ? Yes or no? Yes, you are. When God puts you in the body of the church, when He puts you in the body, does He expect you to function as a member of the body? Yes. So God's Holy Spirit gave you areas of giftedness where you could serve. He gave you areas where you could serve, where you could be gifted, if you will. And God expects all of us to work together as a team to accomplish that. I took three teenage boys in the early service. They were right down front, so I just grabbed them real quick. I won't do it to you, Rich. But I took three teenage boys, and I said, now I want you three. They were all like interlocked like this. I said, I want you all to go get my keys, and I want you to give them over here to my son, Clayton. I said, but the key is you two have to close your eyes. Only the guy in the middle can watch where you're going. And they were interlocked. I said, he's the eyes of this outfit. And then we got over there and somebody else was the arm that picked up the keys. And then the eyes had to direct them because the other two had their eyes shut. He had to direct them over to Clayton. And then the arm had to go. And so you got feet, you got eyes, you got arms at work there. And I did that in the early service to illustrate and to show how God wants the body of Christ to function and how every member of the body is important. Did you know there are 9 different team gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to people when they get saved? 9 different ones. In fact, I've got them on the screen here. If you just bring them up there, you notice all these different gifts, right? We taught on this. If you were in my class last year, I did a class on spiritual gifts. We did 13 weeks. And we took a week on each one of these gifts and we described what the gift is and how it functions in the body of Christ. By the end of the 13 weeks, then the members of the class, I encourage them, know what your gift is and make sure that you're serving in a way that's utilizing that gift. In your handout, it says, if you're saved, you've been given one of those gifts. And they're given so that you can minister effectively and edify others. Gifts are always given for others. They're not for your personal edification. You were given a gift by the Holy Spirit to be able to help somebody else, to be able to serve. Look at your handout there. All right, look at your handout. And notice the verse, Romans 12:6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us. And then he starts to list them. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. And he goes on and lists a bunch of the team gifts right after that. But what he says, my point here, is he says, having then gifts differing. Hey, my gifts are different than your gifts. Your gifts are different than your husband's gift, your wife's gifts, your kids' gifts. But we've all got gifts. Now listen. Paul said to Timothy, neglect not the gift that's in you. You see the word neglect there. Look at verse, what's the first word? Everybody look down at verse 14 and everybody say it real loud. What's the first word?
Neglect.
Neglect. What does it mean to neglect? Well, the word neglect carries the idea of being careless, making light of something. So if a guy neglects his wife, what does he do? He's not paying her any attention, right? He's neglecting her. He's taking her for granted. And he's not giving her high priority. He's taking her for granted. He's neglecting her. He's not giving her priority. I read the funniest story. I told this at a church I was at in Georgia a couple months ago. It hit me so funny. This businessman's on an airplane. True story, he said. He's on this airplane. He sits next to this young man, and he's just a friendly guy. So he asked the young man, he says, so tell me, why are you on the plane? Is it business or pleasure? And the young man said, actually, it's pleasure. He said, I'm on my honeymoon. The businessman looked, and there was no wife. And he goes, you're on your honeymoon. He said, man, where's your wife? And the young man said, oh, he said, well, she's a few rows back. The plane was so full, we couldn't get seats together. And so he's like, oh, okay. So the businessman, he's like, okay, I get it. So he's trying to be nice, and he said to the young man, he said, hey, look, the plane hadn't started rolling yet. I'd be happy to change seats with her so that way you two can be together. And the young man said, he said, oh, that's okay. He said, I've been talking to her all week. Would you guys say he's on his way to neglecting his wife? Amen. He's got a really good start, doesn't he? Neglecting his wife. Oh, that's okay. I've been talking to her all week. Yeah, I thought, my soul. Neglect not the gift that is in you. Neglect not the gift that's in you. You need, hey, do you think it's important that you know what your spiritual gift is? It's very important. And you need to make sure that you're ministering in a way that God's Spirit can utilize the gifts that you've been given. What happens is, and it's in your handout, it says, what happens is many times believers try to serve in their own strength, in their own power, and they try to minister in ways that they're not gifted to serve. You know what the result is when you serve in ways you're not gifted to serve? You end up frustrated, burned out, and wore out. You end up like that car. You end up like that car that we had on the picture earlier. When you're trying to serve the Lord in ways you're not gifted to serve, you end up like that car, man. You end up burned out, wore out, rusted out, however you want to put it, okay? Now look, here's the reality. And I thank God for all of our volunteers here at Crossroads. But the reality is this. You've only got so much time to serve. I get that. I understand that. You only have so much time to volunteer, to serve, and to do things, you know, in the Lord's service. You want to make sure that you're serving in a way that truly utilizes your spiritual gifts. Because again, you have to take responsibility for your walk with Christ, and you have to make wise decisions. Nobody's going to do that for you. No one's going to watch out for you. If some, you may have 10 different people come to you in the church and say, hey, will you help with this? And you have to make some wise decisions. And you have to know that, okay, I've only got so much time. I want to make sure that I'm serving, but I'm serving smart. And that I'm serving in ways that God's Spirit has gifted me to serve. And it's okay to say no. It's okay to say no. Hey, no, you know what? I just really don't feel that that's an area where I'm gifted. That's okay. Because we want you to serve in ways that you're gifted. So you say, what do I do? What if I wasn't in your class? What if I don't have a clue? In your handout, it says you've got to study and you've got to know where the Holy Spirit's gifted you and then allow God's Spirit to fill you as you use that gift. You have to let the Holy Spirit fill you as you use that gift. You may want to jot this down in your handout. I'm going to bring it up on the screen right now. We can go to the next. There you go. That's the web address. That's our website, crbible.com. If you go to crbible.com/gifts, then that will take you to that spiritual gift series. And I would encourage you, man, throw those things on your iPod, and when you're exercising or you're mowing the grass or maybe you could burn some CDs of it, download it and listen to it in your car or listen to it through your Bluetooth, you know, whatever. But I would encourage you, listen to that series. I did one lesson on each of the 9 team gifts, and I told my class at the end of this series, you're going to know what your gift or gifts are. And so I would encourage you to do that. The first couple lessons were foundational, and then boom, we got into the gifts one by one, and we spent a week on each of the 9 gifts. So I'd encourage you, what's your gift? If someone said, hey, what's your spiritual gift? You know, what would you say? Don't answer out loud, but you ought to know that. Know that, because how are you going to serve effectively if you don't know what your gifts are? Can I submit to you, serving the Lord should not be drudgery? Serving the Lord should not be drudgery. By the way, if serving the Lord to you is drudgery, you're involved in a ministry, a service, and you dread it. Man, you're like, oh man, I got to go up and do that thing again. Then you know what? That's a warning sign. You're probably serving outside of what your gifts are. Because when you're gifted to do something, and the Holy Spirit's gifted you and enabled you to do it, man, it's a delight. Don't you think serving the Lord ought to be a delight? Amen. I mean, if I dreaded coming up here and teaching you the Bible every week, you think I might burn out after a while? Yeah. One of the reasons I think I've been able to do this as long as I have is because I truly feel the Holy Spirit's gifted me in that way. Same way with you. Some of you have taught life groups, and you've done it for 20 years. It's because the Holy Spirit's gifted you to do it. It's not that you don't have down days. It's not that you're not going to have days where you kind of feel a little bit discouraged or you're tired, you're physically exhausted, and you're like, man, I just don't know if I can go up and do that. But usually 9 times out of 10, when you get going, you're glad to do it. You know, you're still excited even when you're tired. Gary, you and your wife have the gift of service, you know, serving. And I'm sure there may be weeks where you're thinking, oh, I got to go up there and cook for 300 people. You haven't had that happen yet. Well, praise the Lord. You want to come over to my house this afternoon and practice up for the fall? No? Not this week. All right. Hey, he said no. Did you hear that? Hey, about that. No, but I mean, you know, you can have weeks like that where you just are tired, but by and large, you enjoy what you do for the Lord. See, that's a sign that you are operating within your gifts when you truly are enjoying that and you look forward to that. But on the other hand, if you're serving in an area that's just constantly frustrating you, aggravating you, you just feel burned out, you just feel aggravated all the time, and you just man, you don't look forward to it, it's just a constant source of frustration, you got to ask yourself, am I really serving where I'm gifted? Number 3, last point is this. If you want to save thyself from a lot of pain and a lot of heartache, Christian, if you want to save yourself from bondage, if you want to save yourself from that picture of that car and feeling that way in your life, number 3, surrender yourself daily. Surrender yourself daily. Look at verse number 15. Everybody look at verse 15. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. That's surrender. That thy profiting may appear to all. In your handout, it says that a daily yieldedness to Christ is absolutely essential if we are to maintain spiritual health and vitality. Once you write that in, I want you to look this way, and I want to talk to you from my heart for a minute, and I want to share something with you that I think will be a help to you. Some of you, after you've been saved, how many of you have known Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for for over 10 years. Raise your hand. 10 years. Now, let me share something with you. It's very, very easy. After you have been saved a while, it's very easy to become comfortable with what you know about the Bible, what you know about Christ. You become comfortable with how much you've grown spiritually, and you lose that spiritual hunger in your life. It's easy to get comfortable, and it's easy to get complacent. Because, man, we've been going to church. We've been serving the Lord for years. We know where to go when we get up on the church property. We know what to do. We know what to say. We know how to serve. We know how to act at church. We know how to carry our Bible. We even know where most of the books of the Bible are now. And what can happen is we get comfortable, and it all becomes very mechanical, and it becomes very fleshly. Maybe that's where you are. Instead of relying on Christ to work through us, we do it on our own. Oh, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, man. I know how to do that. I know how to do that, man. I've done it a million times. And we can get fleshly. We can get to where we depend on ourselves. We're not depending on Christ to work through us. And when that begins to happen in our life, that is a recipe for disappointment, burnout, and stymied, stunted growth. Do you think that your Christian service and your Christian walk can get stale? Yeah. It can get really stale. There's something that will keep it fresh. I don't care if you've been saved 10 years, 15, 20, 25, 50 years. There is something that will keep your Christian walk and your Christian life fresh. And here's what it is. Surrender. This is what we call Tupperware, right? Why do we use that? Why do we put food in this? It's to keep it what? Fresh. We put it in here. We want it to be airtight. And that way, it won't get old and crusty and moldy and nasty. It can stay in here, and we want to keep it fresh. Your Christian life can get moldy, crusty, and you can get very burned out. Yeah, nasty. And I'm going to tell you, the Tupperware of your Christian life, if you will, is this thing of surrender. That's the Tupperware that will keep it fresh. Surrender is the key. He told Timothy, hey, I not only want you to think about the truth I've given you, I want you to give yourself wholly to it. That daily surrender of ourselves to Christ and to the truth of His Word. And as I meditate on Christ and I think about Jesus and I think about the Word of God, I realize how much I need Him. I realize how much I depend on Him, and I'm keeping it fresh. And when you get on your knees every day and you say, Lord, I need You to do this through me, it keeps it fresh. It keeps that hunger going. It keeps it all fresh and new to you because you realize how much you need Jesus Christ to flow through you. I was back in the hospitality room. Everybody had left, and it was about 5 minutes before this service started. And I'd already preached this once at 9:30. And after everybody had left, I just kind of went over in the corner over there, and I was just praying, just surrendering. Say, Lord, I need to do what I'm telling everybody else to do. I've got to surrender to You. Lord, You've got to do it through me again in the 11 o'clock service. The 9:30's passed. That won't do. I can't have the attitude, well, I've already done it in the 9:30. I got this down. You know, no, I've got to depend on Christ like it's the first time I've ever preached a message. Not say I've done this 25 years, 30 years. No, I got to depend on Him like it's the first time. When you usher, when you greet, when you teach a class, when you cook a meal, when you sing in the choir, whatever it is you do, you work in the nursery, you do it like it's the first time you've ever done it. You get on your knees and you give yourself wholly to Jesus Christ. You surrender like we sung about on the platform and they sung, I surrender all. Lord, I'm Yours. I can't do it without You. That's the thing that will keep it fresh. That's what will keep it fresh. That's what will keep it exciting and new. Brother Wade came in. I was over in the corner like this, you know. Brother Wade popped into the hospitality room to get a Kleenex. He came in and went, oh, you praying? I said, yeah, I'm praying. He said, oh, sorry. I said, that's fine. Look in your handout. He said, meditate on these things, right? Well, look at your handout, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are what? Just. Say it with me. Whatsoever things are what? Pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Now, here's the thing. He says, that's what you need to be thinking and meditating on. Meditate means to revolve it in the mind. He says, you need to be revolving things in your mind that are true, honest, lovely, just, good report. Not smut, not filth, not nastiness. He said, no, you think on the, let this be what revolves in your mind. And then look at the next verse in your handout. Next verse, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Look at the screen. Notice this up on the screen. Let's bring it up. Here's what it is. You ready? He says, think, meditate on spiritual truth. Revolve it in your mind. All right? And then the next thing, he says, surrender yourself to truth. Give yourself wholly to it. Lock, stock, and barrel. Say, Lord, this is your truth, and I am surrendering. I am giving myself to it. Why? Because it's truth. And I don't know better than God. God knows better than I do. And I surrender myself to what he said. His commandments are not grievous. They're for our good. And so I think on the truth of God's word. I surrender myself to that truth. And then the next thing it says, notice, this will equal continued spiritual growth. When I'm thinking on truth, surrendering myself to truth, I'm going to continue spiritual growth. Look, isn't that what verse 15 says? Look at it. Verse 15. Meditate on these things. All right, so think on it. Number two, give yourself wholly to them. That's surrender. And then what's the result? That thy profiting, that means your growth, your spiritual advancement, may appear to all. Christian, he says in verse 16, take heed unto thyself, save thyself. You have to take personal responsibility for your spiritual walk with the Lord. Now I want you to look at verse 16 one more time and we're done. This is it. Look at verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. You won't end up like that car we saw earlier. He said, you will save thyself. But notice, and them that hear thee. In your handout, it says, your life will have true impact on those around you. Your life will have true impact on those around you. You may end up being somebody else's lifeline. You help save them. Hey, you help save them from a life of ruin and a life of disaster. So take heed unto thyself, save thyself. Stay a self-feeding believer. We said, number two, serve where you're gifted. And number three, surrender. That's the Tupperware that keeps it all fresh. Surrender yourself daily to Christ.